open my eyes to the world, the world that shines in you. Open my eyes to the world that shines in you. Let me see you brightening the air. Let me see you playing everywhere.
Welcome to Let's Find Out. That was William Vitalis with Open My Eyes to the World. The purpose of Let's Find Out is to serve the higher good. Let's Find Out brings you viewpoints of how to grow within. The goal is to assist you in manifesting your desires in your daily life, to bring to you the concept of truth, that we are all intrinsically connected to the one source that empowers you to manifest your life's purpose, as well as your life's vision. Along the way, your spirit will heal, grow, and prosper when you connect to your blessed higher self. The universe is expanding, and all of us must begin to tune in as we join our mind, body, and soul to the higher energies that are now available to us. BBS Radio and Let's Find Out helps you to establish a link for that purpose. The ultimate desire of the human consciousness is to connect with our blessed higher self, our angels, and our guides. They help us along the path of life. The wave of the new fifth dimension energies, the double helix, is now helping you to manage your emotional body. Meditation is key and helps to strengthen us and guide us to be able to give just a little bit more of ourselves. Take the time to get quiet, to close your eyes, and to go within. Meditate as often as you can throughout the week. Who can predict the messages that will come to you? Now you can know the joy that is felt as the heart opens and expands, as you just sit still and listen. This new energy, the double helix from the fifth dimension, is always stronger during the holiday season, the season of magic, joy, sharing, laughter, and love. Let's Find Out wishes you a fabulous holiday with a successful and joyous 2018. Happy holidays and Happy New Year to all of the Let's Find Out and BBS Radio listeners. Now, let's listen to tonight's program with Elizabeth Joyce. Good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we are at December 10th, so there's only 15 days left for your crazy shopping until you're done, at least with Christmas. And then we also have Hanukkah starting. I believe that starts tomorrow. And it's an exciting time. It's a wonderful time of love. I have a wonderful guest tonight. He not only is a good spiritual teacher and a wonderful person that does a lot of service for the world, but he's an author. And he's just finished his third book. I'm very, very excited about it. The title is Flying with My Higher Self, Awakening to Self-Mastery. And as everybody knows who knows me, I call it your blessed higher self, Robert Muldano. Good evening, Robert. How are you?
Very good, Elizabeth. Thank you for having me on your show.
So this is book three. Tell us about how this all came to be.
Well, this story, it's a fascinating story for me because there's a lot of personal growth involved. It's about the wonderful conversations and experiences that I have when I meet a personified version of myself as my higher self in the form of a Mr. Sam Watson, who is a helicopter pilot. What's interesting about this story is that it came about kind of unexpectedly, in a sense that what I was doing was I was in a deep meditation. And I merged with my higher self in the meditation into what I call the higher state self. And I just said, look, I need to know what I need to share with the world. This is my third book. I'm running out of ideas. And my higher self came back with quite an interesting answer. The answer that I got was, why don't you share about us? And I said, us, that's what you mean, you and I? And I, and the higher self reaffirmed that and said, yes, about us. And I sort of was startled by that answer, because I saw this, our connection and our relationship, as being one in a work in progress. But essentially, what I asked after that was, okay, what do you want me to tell him about us? And sure enough, that night in a dream, I had an incredible dream, and the dream was, in a short version of the dream, is I was, a helicopter pilot was flying, and he was being guided by a voice that said, you need to go find a city of light, a higher dimensional city of light. So the helicopter pilot persisted in the dream and so forth, and of course he was encountering all kinds of obstacles, low fuel, the bad weather.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and this is typical on the spiritual path. But as he was, he persisted, and you know, he doubted the voice a few times, but he continued to try, and eventually he finds this city, this beautiful city, wonderful people. It was full of treasures and all kinds of things, material things. But more importantly, this was a city of higher dimensions, and the people there were fifth dimensional entities, and they were. He kind of felt like he was back at home again. And they were teaching him new things about how to, the spiritual path, the fifth dimension, and so forth, bilocation, astral travel. Anyway, he was very excited, and he comes back, and this is all in the dream. He comes back to his home, and he's excited, and he shares this with his family and friends, and he says, let me take you to the city. Well, obviously, nobody believes him at first, and then they decide, oh, okay, well, we're not interested in going, but you can tell us about it later on. So he's frustrated, and eventually he finds somebody. This somebody that says, okay, I'll go with you. And the end of the story is that he takes this person to this city. They become good friends. He teaches them how to fly. And the person that he taught, this friend of his, becomes a master like him that teaches others on the spiritual path.
That's a wonderful story. It really is.
It's not over. What happens is... from that story, from that dream, I had this idea, and I could see the higher self working here, saying, okay, what would happen if I asked for an ascended master like the Jesus or the Buddha to come in the flesh, and I could have a conversation with that person, and I could talk about anything. And the story in the book is, in fact, that. This person, this higher self person, or a embodiment of me, shows up. And we have the conversations and the wisdom, the story evolves over time, and I'm reminded from this person, this higher self aspect of me, that all the answers to all the questions that I have are within me.
Always.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful to know. It reminds me of the time I was walking around after I had been with the Holy Mother. I think it was 2014, and I kept hearing, seeding and nurturing the garden of your soul, seeding and nurturing the garden of your soul. I said, what the heck is that? And they said, that's your next book. And it plopped in. How long did it take to write this book? I wrote mine in about 6 weeks.
Elizabeth, I'm not that fast. It took me about a year.
It does take a year.
It took me about a year.
I was trying to explain what happened. This book just dropped in.
Yeah.
As you know, I've written about 9 of them, and they do take a good year, but not that one.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to write it, and what challenges did you face when you were writing it? There's always challenges.
What really inspired me to write this was that I had a sense that this book needed to be written, not just for me, but there's a wider audience out there. And I think you mentioned that in the beginning when we start embracing these new energies in these challenging times. This is something that's made clear in your writings as well. And that's the importance of becoming your divine higher self and getting direct access to God through the higher self. What this book is about is basically it makes it real in a sense that this is what I present in the book is what it would be like to be in communion with your higher self. It makes the higher self aspect less of a mystery, and instead presents it kind of like a friend, a beloved friend who talks and abides.
Right, trusted friend, which is an important word.
Yeah, for us... The analogy in aviation is really, this is kind of, as a pilot, former pilot, the analysis and is our co-pilot or a wingman who's always with us, supporting us, flying with us.
as you know, I was in aviation. That was my field before I dropped everything to after the light. And I love aviation. I love flying. But I want to tell you, there must have been some challenges. I know every book that I have written has either, I've either had distractions, or I've gotten discouraged, or I feel like I shouldn't be writing such a high-level book or whatever. What happened with you, Robert?
Well, I had a few challenges. The one I mentioned earlier was the fact that I had reached a point where I had spent months just outlining ideas and new things, and I just couldn't go anywhere with it. It just didn't seem to fit. In fact, what I was trying to do is perhaps more of a linear approach to it, as opposed to really going into meditation and connecting with the higher aspects of my being, in this case, my higher self. It was only when I really sat down and really talked to my higher self and connected that I started getting these ideas, and the idea for the book popped up. So that was a challenge for me, was to be able to get out of my mind. And
you know what that's from? That's interesting, because that's control issues. The ego. The ego that we have to control. We have to know what we're doing, what time we're going to be there, and what we're reading, and what everybody else is doing. That's the ego. That's the false self. The higher self is when you let go of everything and let it pour in. And that's probably what your block was. I know it's been mine. Yes. It just can't let go and let it flow.
Exactly. And one of the things that I found very interesting about that, speaking of the ego, was that, you know, I didn't want this to be an autobiography. I'm one of the characters, myself and Sam Watson, and there are others, of course, but we were the primary characters. I didn't want this to be an autobiography in the sense that I didn't want to reveal everything about myself and start talking about myself. I wanted to share important aspects of my journey, but I also wanted to balance that with questions that would make sense to the average person. So what I'm really doing here is I'm tailoring the challenge was tailoring the conversations to where I was on the spiritual path, where I am now, yet general enough for others to appreciate at the same time.
Well, I think it helps to have personal conversation with somebody in a book, and I think that this includes life, death, afterlife, the spiritual path, and becoming a better person. So why wouldn't that be good?
That would be good. Absolutely. And another brief challenge that I had was I wanted to be very accurate in the technical information. I had never flown a Bell 47. Bell 47 is one of the oldest helicopters around. There aren't many of them around, in fact. And I did have the opportunity to connect with some of the few operators that still have them. One was in Pennsylvania, in fact, that still had the Bell 47, but I didn't have the chance to fly it. And so what I did do is I went on eBay and I was able to obtain a 1957 Bell 47 G2 manual, flight manual. And I studied it and used a lot of the YouTube videos and immersed myself in the aircraft. And, of course, I had to dig up some of my old flight manuals as well. So I wanted to be, that was the challenge, was being able to convey all the information from that helicopter, which is what Sam was flying in the story.
You know, one of my favorite things in the book is that you're flying an aircraft and you're the pilot, you're the only one that knows how to fly it, but you're not alone.
Right.
All kinds of messages can come to you as you're in that air doing and making your decisions with your flight. I think that's great. What do you think is the key message of the book?
Well, the key message in the book was that we're all on a spiritual journey, and some of us are aware of it, some of us are not. But it all comes down to really... and I heard this said many times, I think, in your books, is we're all vibrating, we're all vibrational. The universe is vibrational. We're vibrational beings of light, basically. And our goal here and the message in this book is really that we're here to transform matter into higher vibration, to be co-creators of the duality that we're in. And we can only do this, really, by following our guidance, our higher self. So that was a big message.
If we could teach that, we wouldn't have all of this war and threats of war and arguing and judgments and condemnation that we have.
No, that's true.
I think it would start leading to a more peaceful life. So you do not see a lot of books about flying in helicopters, especially these kinds of books written by men. How did you pick up the name for your book, and what's your flying experience in the military? I know you're in the military. Choose this helicopter that you'd never been in.
Well, it was an interesting question because I spent 24 years in the military, first as a Marine Corps helicopter pilot, and later I was with the Air Force Special Operations Command, and I spent 16 years with them. So I retired as a lieutenant colonel with a lot of flying experience in various leadership positions. One of the things that that I was excited about when I wrote this book was obviously that I could, you know, flying with your higher self is for me was literally flying. I was flying again, and so I was back in the cockpit, but in a different way. And when I was a child, I was fascinated with a TV show called The Whirlybirds, and I mentioned that in the book. These were two pilots, PT and Chuck, and they were always helping and saving people, and I was just, they were my idols at the time, and this was in the 1950s when I was growing up, and I just wanted to be like them. And they had a Bell 47 helicopter, which is one of the oldest ones around.
That's where it came from, huh? It's almost like Superman and Kryptonite.
Yeah, well, it was also with Rocky and Bullwinkle, you know, the old shows.
But, right.
Yeah, but one of the things I do want to mention here about that is interesting that came up for me is another important aspect of the story was that I found that I connected with my inner child. So there was a sense of, there was this playfulness and this surrender, this spontaneity. And as to reading much about the higher self and the Hawaiian tradition, they teach that we must become like little children to embody the higher self. So I thought that was very interesting.
That's also a nice quote from the Bible.
It is, yes. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right, that's just like a trust issue.
Yeah.
Little kids trust their parents or they trust their caregivers.
Yeah.
And they do it without knowing anything. They just do, just like an animal in a sense. The babies and young kids do.
Yeah, and I think what's the message there, as I was thinking through this, is that we have to surrender the ego. We have to surrender and be like that little child and listen and follow guidance. And that's I think, what the message is for me.
A lot of people say, you can't tell me anything because I know it all. And they have to, and they do that because of fear. Because if they're made wrong, they're so afraid of a consequence. Whereas when you trust the blessed higher self, you don't have an issue. If you don't trust the blessed higher self, that's when you have the issue.
Yeah, that's right. And the other part of that is, as you say, if you don't trust it and you make a choice, then you're responsible for that.
Right.
And if you do make the right choice, you're still responsible. So.
Oh, sure. We're always responsible. So who do you think would benefit from reading your book? I think that guys between 18 and 30 would really benefit from reading this book. But who do you think would?
Well, you know, that's always a great question. The book was written for both the spiritual novice either on or contemplating a spiritual journey and the person who's well on their path. So I tried to leave it open to that broad group of people. And also I think it's for people who really want to know how guidance works and is open to learning and understanding and assessing the inner dimensions of themselves. So it appeals, in my opinion, to a range of the real appeal of the book is the range of spiritual questions it raises about life, manifestation, you know, your purpose, living in the duality, death, and exploring really different perspectives about spirituality and the universe. And, of course, if you're a pilot and you're interested in aviation, in particular helicopter flight, and any adventure, this is a great book for that. But you're right, anybody from, I would say, 18 to 30, but I think the genre is more adventure, metaphysical, and spiritual, and also religious. I mean,
can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Now that you've written these three books, which are great, do you think that since you've become acquainted with spiritual things, that it's impossible to be without it, that it's impossible not to connect once you have connected?
My answer to that is simply that I can't go backwards. In other words, I find that I have to. I'm on the path and I'm connected, and it's very difficult for me not to be connected. I mean, I could say that there are times where I feel that I'm not connected to the higher self and I'm not really operating out of my heart, but for the most part, with my practices and everything, I find that I'm more heart-centered, and I know that I'm on the right path in that regard.
Well, that's true. And I don't like to say walking the path because everybody and every animal, every bee, every insect walks the path. But you're walking with a new awareness. It's an awareness thing. It's like buying a regular gas or high-test fuel. The high-test fuel does a better job.
Right. No, that's a good way of putting it.
Excuse me. So what benefits have you found by connecting? Can you give us some real good examples of what you found connecting with your IRSL?
From me, this path that I've been on, as I look back on my life right now, I can tell you that every major turning point, when I reflect back on it, was very specifically and precisely guided. And in particular, if I think of the path that I'm on now as a healer and a writer, coming from the military is a good example of that. But, when I think of the benefits from this, I find that I'm really in communion with my authentic self. I'm really, really expanded. I'm loving. I feel like I'm wiser when I come to making decisions, when I'm in the heart and I'm connected with my higher self. And, and this could be for anything. It could be when you're helping others in need or in prayer or loving somebody or showing empathy or compassion. You know, these heart-centered moments, we are operating from the higher self. And so I achieve more inner peace and sense of wholeness, love, and being filled and flowing with the Spirit when I'm, and that's how I see the benefits, is when you're in that energy.
I think since we've gotten the new Double Helix energy on 2012, I think that the most important thing is that there's a new rule. And the new rule is you have to connect up. You have to. If you have to maintain, this is maintenance. This is the temple. The body is a temple, and we have electrical energy as well as the breath. And the breath is the light of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Right. So as we connect to that and balance our electrical energy instead of letting it go helter-skelter and bringing us all these unfounded fears, that's when we can begin to trust. And that is when you remember that you're not alone and that the sun is out and that your life can be changed forever if you can change the way you make your decisions as well as your reactions to things. That all changes as you... I think this is one of the benefits of connecting with your blessed higher self. That's what I teach in my classes.
Yeah, in fact, what you're saying is that really, we really need to make that connection so we can grow spiritually and evolve, really, in this.
Whole different life. It takes away worry and pain, and it's just a whole different concept, a new consciousness. It really is, and it's quite beautiful because not only does it alleviate pain in your heart and in your body, but it alleviates your relationships. Don't you think your relationships have improved?
Oh, yeah, because, like you were saying, you're in a different space. You're in a different state of consciousness, essentially, and people can see that. I mean, you're more joyful. Anytime you feel nurtured, supported, and you have, you feel confident in your life, you feel confident in your decisions and how you're moving out. And so all of that energy goes out, and people can see that, and they can say, okay, what's going on here, And you exude that energy. You present yourself in that way.
And it's funny because I've worked with a lot of people, and when they tell me, how can I get to know what you know? How can I be more psychic? They want to be more psychic. I think it's to show off sometimes.
Yeah.
But I just tell them, all you have to do is meditate. Well, they don't want to. Then I get a moan and a groan, and I say meditate once a day, and I get looked at like, oh, I got to do it. Why can't you do it? You're the psychic. Well, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
Right.
So tell me, what were some of the most profound messages that you've received from your blessed higher self, and how has that influenced you and changed you?
Well, there were a couple of them that were so important for me. For me personally, it was all about, as you said earlier, trust. I had to trust the messages I was getting. And of course, that's important, being responsible for not only trusting, but responsible for the choices that I make, and following the guidance or not. And so the trust is all about surrendering to this higher power within that knows what I need.
Can you give an example?
I've recently, for instance, I was flying, I can't remember, maybe I think it was a couple months ago, and there was something about the circumstances in the flight that led me to believe there was a delay taking off, and everybody was complaining, but there was something at work there, and I didn't know what it was, but I sensed that my higher self was telling me, this is happening for a reason. There's something bigger out there that you can't see, and I had to trust that. Now, what that was, I have no idea, But I felt that the answer, I said, okay, what's going on? And I felt that there was a reassuring answer that was, okay, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. An example could be, as I think the higher self knows more than we know. Obviously, it's more visionary, it's more proactive.
You know why? I think it's fascinating. We're all attached, as you know. And the way I like to explain it is, supposing somebody's in love with somebody. That's what the audience likes to hear about love. Man's in love with a woman. He wants to ask her to marry him. But maybe she's not ready. And maybe something has to happen to her inside before she can respond to his question. So it all gets delayed until all of the other elements, the entire puzzle, is put together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Right. No, yeah, absolutely. And, it was the trust, but also there was a sense of gratitude because I'm grateful. Yes. After doing this, writing this book, I'm more grateful for having my higher self in my life. I think the relationship is more real, it's personal, and it really stressed to me the importance of having an ongoing conversation all the time.
You mean with higher self?
Absolutely.
Let's talk about that shift for a minute, Robert, because this is important. Instead of talking to your ego voice, you're now talking to your higher self. Now, they're very similar, but they're not the same at all.
Right.
So you're talking to your higher self, and you're feeling more relaxed, and you don't feel that fear and tension that sometimes we feel when we're talking to our ego self. So you can relax, and you can think about what you're doing, and then you can have the influence, and you can accept it. Whereas instead of arguing with it and say shoulda, woulda, coulda, if, you are flowing with it. So you're in the flow.
Yeah,
and
that's a very, very important point. Very important point, Elizabeth. And the sense that example would be the higher self may not be the first voice that shows up in your consciousness. It could be, if you're asking about something, it could be your lower self aspect. It could be that immature child, the ego self, compared to the higher self. It could be, other elements of the lower four bodies. I mean, you have to really, and this is what I use, I typically say higher self. I verbalize higher self.
Oh,
tell
good.
Me
you're
about this.
You're holding the energies. That's good. That's
that way I know which voice is coming in. Now, I could have an intuitive sense or I could get guidance from other sources, but I will always go in and say, okay, higher self, tell me about this. So I'm getting a lot of different inputs, but I'm always going to my higher self, and it may be that my higher self is the right answer. It could be most of the time it's my higher self, but at least I'm not reacting to the first thing I get. Does that make sense?
You know, that's great. Yeah, when I have these people do the morning meditation and nightly review, I say morning meditation doesn't have to be complicated because you're always in a hurry to go someplace. So you get up and you just take a breath and open that crown chakra and bring the energy down the spine. And when you feel that your gas tank is full with the air of the Holy Spirit or whatever you want, the chi or the shakti, say, Thank you, Spirit, for filling me with your energy of love today. And may I carry it throughout the day, and may it touch the heart of everyone I meet. Period. Right. You're done.
Right.
That's
beautiful.
So cool. There is something I want to ask you, though, about one of the chapters in your book. You wrote about the Ten Commandments of flying a helicopter and how they relate to the spiritual path. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'll tell you briefly about it. Yeah, they weren't really 10 commandments, essentially. These are just 10 laws or rules of helicopter flying. Let me find it in the book here. Essentially, these were reminders. Sam had put in the flight manual that he gave me, he had put a handbook in there. And in the handbook, he said, these are reminders, not just for you as a helicopter pilot, but also for those on the spiritual path.
Almost like your checklist, huh?
Yeah, and in fact, for instance, I'll just go through a few of these. And these are obvious things for any helicopter pilot, and any pilot for that matter. Inspect your aircraft carefully before each flight. Well, that goes without saying. You want to check all the components, especially do a good pre-flight. The reminder is, you take time to inspect and check everything. I know from my personal experience, I've found lines that were disconnected. I found rotor head screws that were loose. That'll kill you in a heartbeat. We found a snake once in the flight controls. You find all kinds of foreign object damage or foreign objects in these in the control. So you want to do a good pre-flight. Your crew chief will normally help you with that. So the spiritual application to that is before embarking on your spiritual path, check your inner pilot, your attitude, your commitment and motivation to see where you are. Then this requires you to really think about, you know, what's my purpose? What am I all about? Where am I resisting going on the path? So you have to pre-flight your attitude. It's all about setting the intention. Another one I thought was great is make sure you have enough fuel. Well, you know that from aviation, that pilots really, you check the fuel gauges and the fuel systems to make sure everything's working, but you want to make sure you have a reserve also, just in case, Murphy's Law. And the spiritual application is what resources do I bring to the path? Oftentimes I've found, even in myself, that, you know, you get to the point where you say, okay, how am I going to get through this? Do I really want to do that? And then you don't realize, okay, I have the resources to do this. You know, that's evaluating your strengths and weaknesses. What qualities do you bring to the table? What's the spiritual fuel? That's the metaphor here. You know, what do you bring to the journey? We always bring something, our gifts and talents, to the journey. And so those are some of the examples. You know, I went through others. My last one here I'll share with you is use extra caution operating on or near the ground. Well, that goes without saying because helicopters, we spend a lot of time on the ground or near the ground, and that's a pretty hazardous environment. So you want to be extra vigilant. You want to watch out for power lines and so forth. The spiritual application there is to slow down and be aware of your surroundings. Cultivate an inner awareness through spiritual practices like meditation.
If you're riding in a car and you're texting on the phone, you're not aware of your surroundings.
No.
I always was taught to notice the make of the car on both sides of you, what license plate state it's from, and if you can, who's in the vehicle. It's very important to do that. That's much like a checklist, don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, that's something in aviation too. As pilots, you're not always looking in. You're always looking outside. You're always situationally aware because you never know what's going to happen, and you always want to be ahead of the aircraft. So that's a good example, Elizabeth.
Well, we're gonna come back in a little bit. We do have to take a break. The time went so fast. And maybe you can tell us a little bit of what you learned about self-mastery. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. My guest tonight is Robert Modano, and we're talking about his wonderful new book, Flying with My Higher Self, Awakening to Self-Mastery. And we will be back after these messages.
This is Elizabeth Joyce of Let's Find Out. And now it's time for our weekly cosmic tip. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of December 11th through December 17th, 2017. The communications breakdown cycle, with Mercury retrograde all through December, calls for adaptability, especially in your upcoming holiday plans. It's also good to do some behind-the-scenes preparation for future projects, research, reading, surfing the internet for the subject that you're interested in, to work with later as January opens. It's time to take a deep breath. Get yourself a cup of coffee or tea, sit down, and put your feet up. This will be the most relaxing week of the month. Mercury is retrograde over an energetic point called a galactic center, the black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Long-term goals, Saturn, also travels over this point in late November into early December. A possible meaning for this uncommon alignment is that it's time to align yourself with a higher purpose for the coming new year of 2018. Although 2018 is a year of earthquakes and attempted assassinations, it's also the year of a spiritual breakthrough and epiphanies. Sagittarius takes a high road and makes big plans. Perhaps it's time to prepare to travel or publish. Saturn is moving into Capricorn for 2 years, beginning early next week on December 19th. This involves the very structure of your life. In the world, it has to do with taxes, infrastructure, boundaries, prejudice, and legalities. On the personal level, it's time to step into your wise authority figure or your blessed higher self. Be sure to take time to meditate and go within so that you can get easy and safe direction as to what you need to do and where you need to be at this time. Take responsibility for something larger than your personal self. Think about giving service to your community. Establish healthy boundaries and be willing to restructure the core foundation of your life. On Monday, write down any brilliant ideas when you wake up, as Mercury is in harmony with inventive Uranus. Or these ideas could dissolve away quickly by sunset when spacey Neptune is active. Tuesday represents the halfway point in the Mercury retrograde cycle. It comes out of retrograde just in time for the holiday, December 22nd. It's time to start thinking about the future and working on the future projects. Just allow time for any adjustments later. Also, you may have some memories and thoughts connecting to your past. Or you could hear from someone from out of left field, from long, long ago. Since Mercury conjuncts Venus on Friday, it's an excellent day to talk about your relationship needs. Just remember, they are both in the sign of Sagittarius, who likes to exaggerate and then forget what they said. Be cautious and don't believe everything you hear. A Saturn-Uranus trine brings the week to an exciting close. If you have the need to break away from something that is no longer working in your life, then now is the time. As the universe provides this for you, just close your eyes, trust in the experience, take a deep breath, walk through the door, and know that all is well and will be okay. It's also a highly social weekend under the Let's Party Sagittarius moon, so enjoy your friends, family, and loved ones. Now, let's get back to Let's Find Out and our weekly program. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul by Elizabeth Joyce is a perfect holiday gift for Christmas or for any other holiday. This book, Garden, as Elizabeth calls it, and it's one of her favorites, talks about the invisible energy known as Shakti, Chi, the Holy Ghost, is not a time or a thing, but the underlying nature order of the universe, whose ultimate essence is difficult to hold or to understand. The object of spiritual practice is to become one with these energies, to become a tunnel, to become a download effect, or by whatever you choose to call them. To achieve this type of balance is known as the state of being. This book, penned by Elizabeth Joyce, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, is an experience of compassion. It's a desire to help others with these troubling times, through light and love shining through the darkness, and to bring love and light to all those who read the words. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is not a fluffy, feel-good book. It is a well-written practical guide exploring the groundbreaking philosophy of truly transforming your life. If you are serious about creating change, embracing your birthright with enthusiasm and grace, and creating your very own infinite possibilities, then this book is for you. With all the religious teachers, books, and masters of philosophy, we learn soon that they are one and the same. Spiritual practice is to become one with the soul and harmonize your inner nature in order to achieve that which you have been born to do. When you are walking your path, you innately know this because it becomes effortless. You think about it, you talk about it, you plan it, and you do it. This always involves meditation and the practice of moral practices. This book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, brings the principles which can be discerned by observing nature and can be followed as a practice. Your impact and connection to this energy force brings you a force field containing unlimited possibilities. However you practice it and use it is up to each and one individual soul. This book contains the natural laws of the universe, which will help to open your heart and guide you. Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul is available at Amazon.com and at Elizabeth's website, www.new-visions.com. Pick it up, and you'll keep it by your bedside forever. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I wanted to let everyone know that my new book, a memoir, called Unlimited Realities, is now available on Amazon.com. It just got released from the publisher this week. This memoir is the life of a gifted seer and healer, how a woman transcends from pain and sorrow as destiny taps her on the shoulder. Rather than just shrugging off her problems, she began to gaze inward and upward. She became spiritually awakened and floated above her body, gaining wisdom and knowledge. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of saving my soul as well as my life. When Dick Clark was with us, he reviewed the American Bandstand chapter of Unlimited Realities and absolutely loved it. He said that Unlimited Realities would make a great read. So order yours now at Amazon.com, or you can order it from my website, www.new-visions.com. Don't miss this one. It is a great read and shows you a lot about now as well as the hereafter and what happens to us after we pass from this earth plane. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking air dates between February and May of 2018. Thank you for your consideration.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
In a garden I'm playing my song to the sunrise, and out of my fiddle a hummingbird flies. Oh, I become a hummingbird. I fly through a cloud of thin walls, Christ and see and come in me. Oh, taste and a feather that gleams in the sunlight, breath of the wind, and we all are in flight. Now we are thousands of hummingbirds, humming home over a lake, humming home to the mountains where flowers hang.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and that was William Vitalis singing his creation, The Hummingbird. I just love that song. It talks about nectar. Now, nectar is from the gods, and nectar is what Buddha lived on when he meditated for 6 months before he reached the state of being. They say that when you meditate and you go into nirvana and you taste the nectar, you have to meditate again and again and again to try to get that back. It's better than anything on this planet that we've ever invented, the nectar of the gods. Tonight, my guest is Robert Muldano. He's an author of a new book. Actually, he's written three. And this one is called Flying with My Higher Self, Awakening to Self-Mastery. So I thought the song Hummingbird was perfect for the subject. How are you doing, Bob? Thanks for coming back with me.
Yes, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You wrote, I just love the letter that Sam wrote you after he had left the third dimension. Let's talk about that letter that Sam wrote you in the book.
Okay. Well, and I would like to read some of that letter to you so that your viewers or your listeners can appreciate really what the letter was all about. And
Go ahead, Elizabeth. I just wanted to know if this was something that you authored or something that really happened.
Well, this was something that I authored.
Okay, and, good. But you received it from Spirit.
Yes, and if you can just bear with me, but this letter is... let me find it here. As I'm doing that, yes.
And that is another thing, while you're searching for it, let me know when you find it.
Okay.
It is true that all masters are not ascended masters. A lot of them are only in the sixth dimension, and I want you to know that no angel was ever a human being, and no human being ever becomes an angel. They are separate entities. And a lot of teachers are not ascended masters. An ascended master is one that not only has reached the state of being, but can talk through the state of being. It's almost like they're kind of not on the planet, but they're there.
Right.
There is one I know of in the world. Her name is Amaritanandamayi, and she is a fully realized saint.
Yeah.
Are you ready with this letter?
I'm ready. Yeah. This letter, Sam had passed, had transitioned, and that was after our last flight. And I had met a friend of his And she gave me the letter, and the letter was addressed to me from Sam, and it says the following: Dear Robert, it's been a pleasure sharing this journey with you. I am very proud of who you are, who you're becoming, and the life that you are living. Remember me as a part of you, the essence of who you are. I am you, and you are me. I am with you always, guiding you and loving you. I've been with you forever, through all your past lifetimes, reminding you that you have all the answers within you. You have all the inner wisdom about what to do and when to do it. Realize that, as the Son of God, you are already perfect, that whatever you are doing right now is perfect for you. Stop striving and trying to be perfect. Everything you're already doing is perfect. Let go of any judgments you have about what you ought to be doing to grow spiritually. Just love yourself and where you are right now. Relax and take a deep breath. Call light to yourself and surround yourself with it. This is who you are. You are the pilot of your life. Don't forget that. And you're a pretty good one, if I may say so. Another thing, always remember that you are not flying alone. I am always there when you need me. Call on me anytime. We are flying together in eternity.
That is so beautiful. And you know, it reminds me of so many people that call in a hurt state. They've lost a loved one, or they've lost a child, or their life has fallen apart in some way. And I tell them that they're not alone and to go within. And I tell them that this is the design that they're living. Well, what's my soul purpose? What's my soulmate? Or what is my purpose? And I go, your purpose is that you're alive. Look around you, take a deep breath, and right where you are is your purpose.
Right.
So it's so beautiful. Yes, sure. We all unflower. We all grow into new stages. Life is a form of changing and a form of cycles. And we go into new stages, then we go higher up on the level. And sometimes we'll meet people that have the same type of personality that the people before us had. And the goal is to counteract or to supersede whatever temptation that is, and to go forward in the light, to release and let go of any prejudices. It's really a neat concept.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, it looks like you've written, I know we're getting out of time, you've written your wonderful vision and purpose in this book. So how can people get your book, and are there any last thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, my book can be obtained on Amazon.com. Of course, you can go to www.authorrobertmaldonado, that's spelled MALDONADO.com, and that's my website, and you can purchase the book that way. I think the last, if I had any advice or any last thoughts, I would say the message in the book is to listen to and really follow the guidance in your life and just follow its voice, because by following its voice, you'll become acquainted with spiritual things that are in a way that would be impossible without it. There's so many things out there. Life is full of challenges. We're going through some very challenging times right now. And
we're going to enter a year that's very challenging, 2018. Yeah. Not be an easy year.
Right.
So
right.
That's a wonderful message. Thank you so much for being on Let's Find Out. And I'm sure that we'll have you back in the near future.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for having me. And God bless you.
And now it's time to get ready for our meditation. We always end Let's Find Out with a meditation. And next week, I have on Mark Dodich, who is the famed astrologer. He's on four times a year. And we're on talking about the winter solstice, Saturn changing signs on the 19th that goes into Capricorn and leaves Sagittarius, and what that's going to bring to the planet, to the nation, to the world, and to your own personal life. So again, I hope that you'll tune in next week, the 17th, and listen to Mark and I talk about these things. Right now, we're going into the meditation, beginning with Elizabeth Hepburn. It's a quiet thing, just like Robert said. It's a quiet thing. And then we'll go into the meditation. Thank you for listening, and good night. Thank you.
it all comes true, just the way you planned. It's funny, but the bells don't ring. It's a quiet thing when you hold the world in your trembling hands. You'd think you'd hear a quiet thing. It's a quiet thing. There are no exploding fireworks. Where's the roaring of the crowd? Maybe it's the strange new atmosphere way up here among the clouds. But I don't hear the drums. I don't hear the band. The sounds I'm told such moments bring.
It's time for the Let's Find Out meditation. Please sit with both feet flat on the floor, spine straight, close your eyes. Take some deep breaths and begin to relax. Feel the light pouring into your crown chakra throughout your body. God is the foundation of health, prosperity, wisdom, and eternal joy. We make our life filled and complete when we have daily contact with God.
take the time. Give your attention to the Almighty Power that is giving you life, strength, and wisdom. Pray that unceasing truth flow into your mind, unceasing strength flow into your body, unceasing joy fill your soul. Take a deep breath. Feel the Shakti energy filling you up with light. Feel your inner self tingling and receiving this light and thrilling at the freedom and joy it brings. Feel this light flowing through your entire being. Become one with the spiritual energies of your blessed higher self. Join your body with your universal body. Feel it. Join with it. Meld into it. And become the light being that you are. Take a deep breath. Know your strength. Know your path. And walk it as a son or daughter of God.